I would say that if you gave me the choice of being less diversified or more diversified as a low risk person, I'll always choose more diversified. And that's kind of how that's happened. But it's also just a factor of a long period of time. It's a lot to manage. And what I do to manage it is I have a lot of tolerance. What I mean by that is a lot of slack.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Jeremy Roll on the show today. Jeremy is somebody that I follow very closely and listen to his YouTube videos and any podcasts that he's on whenever they get released. So Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm super honored.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No, thanks for having me on. It's good to see you. And I just hope that this is helpful for your listeners.
Absolutely. So everybody, Jeremy started investing in real estate and businesses in 2002 and left the corporate world in 2007 to become a full-time passive cash flow investor. He is currently an investor in more than 60 opportunities across more than $1 billion worth of real estate and business assets. As founder and president of Roll Investment Group, Jeremy manages a group of over 1,500 investors who seek passive / managed cash flowing investments in real estate and businesses. Jeremy is also the co-founder of Four Investors by Investors, also known as FIBI, a nonprofit organization launched in 2007 with the goal of facilitating networking and learning amongst real estate investors in a strict no sales pitch environment. So everyone, thanks so much, Jeremy, for coming on the show. Why don't you take us back in time and tell us a little bit about what drew you into the syndication space and how you got to where you are?
Yes. And thanks again for having me on. And we were just talking before we started recording about it. Ironically, literally today that we're recording this is exactly the reason why I got into this, which is, you know, crypto just overnight, Bitcoin down like 30% or almost 50% overnight. And when I started investing, it was the dot-com crash, for those of you who are old enough to remember, major, I think it was over 30% and much, much larger on an ongoing basis after that in terms of a crash. And I was just sick and tired of the lack of predictability and the volatility in terms of, you know, trying to figure out what would make the most sense for my long-term investment for my retirement account, you know, because I'm a very long-term thinker. And so I was looking for different ways to invest that were much more predictable and much more stable. And that's when I kind of came across the concept of real estate and cash flow. And I just for myself concluded that passive cash flow and the lower risk side of things that are more highly occupied, more stabilized, were the best fit for me for that predictability. So I started investing in this type of thing in 2002. But ironically, it's like 20 years later, and we're seeing the exact same notion of like the crypto crash, where it was like the dot-com crash. And obviously they're very different, but it's the same concept of like just avoiding all that volatility.
For sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It is pretty interesting to be on this crypto ride right now. It's May 19th, everyone, and crypto has been kind of on the rise for a while. And as Jeremy mentioned, there was just a crash this week. So that roller coaster is definitely one of the reasons why I also am interested in the real estate syndication space. Simple, predictable, cash flowing assets. So, Jeremy, tell us about why you left your corporate career.
Yeah. So, funny enough, I come across a lot of people who say, look, I want to get out of the corporate world. I have patience, but I want to get out. And maybe they'll make like a 5 or 10 year plan to rotate some capital from, let's say, stocks and bonds into real estate, cash flowing real estate, for example, or any type of cash flow. And eventually they'll kind of get out. And I love watching that happen because you end up with financial freedom. For me, I actually rotated my money from stocks and bonds to the cash flow. So the reason I mentioned it was much more for predictability of my long-term retirement account. I didn't actually want to have the paycheck and the cash flow. And that was my goal. I ended up leaving my last corporate job in 07, which was actually at Toyota headquarters at the time here in Los Angeles. after I had a kind of a last straw moment with my newer manager at headquarters, who was about 6 months old that I'd been with them. And so I didn't actually have a plan to leave the corporate world, really. I left because I had enough cash flow built up to live off of, so I had that option. And I decided to take a risk and leave at that time. I had been in the corporate world for more than 10 years. I was a typical person climbing the corporate ladder. I have an MBA from Wharton or UPenn, which is a really good school. And I just had in my head this entire time I was going to build the best resume possible. And that's all I was focused on and everything. But I ended up taking the risk and leaving. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes the hardest moments are sometimes the best moments in retrospect in your life. And that ended up being that, like, what seemed like the worst thing for me in the corporate world with that situation ended up being the best thing, because I've been just thrilled being out of the corporate world now. It's been about 14 years. So
awesome. And so you have now made, I mean, a lot of your time. I mean, you're a full-time passive investor. You're probably the most full-time passive investor that I know. So what does that, how did you grow to be wanting to basically do this full-time, look at passive investments?
Yeah, well, the truth is back, like, even when I was in the corporate world, I'd always watch CNBC. I'd watch investing. Like, it was a bit of a passion of mine in the background. And I went to a ton of networking events between 02 and 07 as I was trying to find stuff. This is outside of working hours. So like at night, I'd probably go to two or three a week in LA. I didn't have any kids at the time, so I had the time and everything, and I had the interest. But once I left the corporate world, really, I took the risk. I said, look, I'm going to give myself 2 years of runway. I had the cash flow. I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. Am I going to be able to sustain it or not? And I'm going to give myself that runway. And what I discovered is that once I got out of the corporate world and I focused on investing, there were a couple of things I loved about it, not the least of which is that in the corporate world, I had great positions. My last two jobs were at Toyota headquarters and Disney headquarters, and I was managing people and I was middle-level manager and really great track I was on, especially for my age. But I always felt like I was never maximizing my potential. And I always never also didn't feel like I was I wasn't maximizing my potential from a net worth perspective. And I also wasn't maximizing my potential just from what am I doing, you know, personally, what am I contributing to, that type of perspective as well. And I feel like ever since I left the corporate world and focused on investing full time, I feel like I've been maximizing my potential for myself and my family. And I still feel like that today. And so to your point, I'm crazy busy as an individual investor because I am hyper diversified beyond probably what I'd recommend to people. I'm not a financial advisor, but just in terms of, you know, another investor's recommendation. But what I love about it is that I'm now able to be at home, have the financial freedom, and happen to have a passion for this. And so because I have a passion for it, I'm going to try to maximize it. And that's why I'm just always busy. So I got lucky, honestly. I did get lucky.
Yeah. I just want to see if we can dig into that just a little bit deeper. I mean, I've heard you say this, which I just really respect and I resonate with, which is that you're passionate about passive investing. Can you tell me more about why that's a passion of yours?
Sure. I feel like I have a responsibility to my family, even to my kids and future generations, to maximize what I'm doing here, not just so I can get through the rest of my life and not be a burden on, you know, my kids and stuff financially, but just to be able to help the next generation. And without getting into too much detail, I'm in a position right now where I have one family member who is going, actually have one family member who is going to go to zero net worth probably in the next 4 or 5 years. And they're about to be in their early 70s. That's in Canada. Then I have a separate family portion here who are married, who are also going to zero net worth probably in the next 3 to 5 years, who are a little bit older, and they're in a higher cost area. They're in California, my other relatives up in Canada. And, you know, it's particularly salient to me. When my father passed away, unfortunately, he passed away very young. He was 52 from lung cancer. He was like a chain smoker. I had to manage his estate, and I think I was early 20s, and there were 28 creditors calling me. 28 creditors calling me, and he actually had a negative net worth. So he couldn't afford, like, you know, there was no money to even bury him, nothing. And so I've seen many things, you know, and I continue to actually experience many things. And I want to avoid that to an extreme for my family if I can. So that's a huge motivator for me. And I feel like the cash flow investing and the passive investing in general is maximizing my potential to stay away from that for other people, right? I also feel like the fact that I'm focused on investing means that I am focused on building up the nest egg, the network, and the cash flow, which is, again, avoiding all those challenges. So it happens to be on. So in other words, if you're in job ABC, you're not necessarily focusing on that. You might be focusing on building a widget. You might be focusing on creating a document for somebody, whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with any of it. But the position that I'm in particularly is I get to focus on maximizing all this and minimizing all those risks. Just that's all I do. And so it's a really good fit for me from that perspective. I also just, I'm fascinated by new businesses. I love talking to new people, learning what they're up to. I'm fascinated by the diversification. I'm in so many different types of things, which we can get into if you want, but I love the fact that I'm so diversified across so many things. And probably my most favorite thing is that a lot of stuff that I invest in is ends up, that money is towards a business that is helping people. Whether it's a mobile home park operator who's providing really, really good housing, and I actually care about how a park looks and how it's managed and offering them certain services, right? And helping people have a better life. And I'm invested in a medical device, which is not real estate related, but it helps people after knee and post knee and hip replacement surgeries to recuperate more quickly, less medication, et cetera, right? So most of the things I'm invested in are helping people. And I love that, to think that that's happening at the same time as me maximizing everything else. So everything just seems to work really well together, just for me personally, subjectively, in terms of what I focus on. Sorry for the very long answer.
Oh, no, not at all. I hadn't heard those stories before. So thank you for sharing. And, you know, I want to touch on your, I know this is kind of a big topic, but your investment philosophy. So let's just start maybe sort of basic. So just for our listeners that are new to you, why do you like real estate syndications and these cash flowing investments better than the stock market? I know we talked about the .com, but if you could just kind of speak on that topic some more.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, sure. For me, it's all about predictable cash flow. So, you know, there's 1,000 ways to invest in syndications. You can go into a ground up development. You can go into all different risk spectrum. I tend to focus on the lower risk spectrum, and why I got into this is much more about that predictability. So for me, I might invest in a building that's highly diversified tenant base to reduce risk, 80 to 100% occupied, again, to reduce risk. And I want to go to sleep tonight, wake up tomorrow, and literally there's no change because I live off the cash flow. So I look for that predictability. So for me, having the predictability of the cash flow coming in and being able to live off that cash flow is much more interesting and appealing than having a stock market that, you know, is going to have a certain return over time that may or may not go up in a year or go down, or have to watch it go up and go down on a daily basis. The dividends payouts in stocks are typically much lower. If you go into a dividend ETF, for example, your percentage payout is typically going to be lower. An institutional REIT, a real estate related type of public entity, is going to have a lower cash flow than I can find. And that's a lot about what one of the benefits that I think is a huge benefit to these types of syndications is that you can get, in my opinion, better cash flow returns and better total returns on average compared to the stock market, for example, and certainly compared to bonds. And so that's part of what I'm talking about as far as maximizing my potential is I maximize the net worth by focusing on getting that incremental return because it's out there. But it takes a lot of work and a lot of networking work to find it. And so for me, it's a combination of predictability, cash flow, and maximizing things all working together. That's really, really appealing about all this.
Awesome. So you mentioned this sort of trifecta. I don't know if you remember mentioning it, but you said nest egg, network, and cash flow. And I'm wondering, when you left Toyota, did you have a nest egg large enough to support investments that would cash flow to support your lifestyle? Or did you have to build that nest egg up? How did you do that?
No. So when I left Toyota, I was about what I call 2x coverage ratio. And that to me is probably the most important metric, which means that I had twice the amount of cash flow that I needed for cost of living. Now, this was a very different time for me. I was much younger. I was renting a townhouse. I had no kids, right? Now I'm like, I got two kids. School's expensive. I'm renting a house as opposed to a townhouse. You know, everything gets more expensive over time. So it was a different time back then. But I had about 2x cash flow coverage, which is really what I needed to be comfortable. I probably wouldn't have even been comfortable like 1.25, even 1.5, unless like maybe 1.5 would have been borderline. So for me, I had that cash flow coverage that was really important. And some of the way that I built that up, because when I was much younger, I was investing in a combination of these syndications and stuff that was more like what I would call medium risk, but allowed me to compound more quickly and actually build up cash flow more quickly. Without getting into too much detail, for example, I did some equipment leasing that had a much higher return to a friend of mine, web hosting servers. And, you know, I can get into numbers if you want, but it allowed me to compound over 8 years and really build up the snowball that allowed me to build up this base that ended I was able to actually then use when I left the corporate world. But I want to warn everybody that one of the dangers of getting this stuff that's a more quick compounding return is that if you live off of it, sometimes it's a combination of like interest and principal, and it's not just interest you're getting back. So the cash flow is much higher. But if you end up living off of all of it, you're going to have nothing at the end. There's no big payout at the end. So I had a combination of those two things working for me together to create that coverage. And so what was really critical for me was to eventually diversify out and out more away from the fully amortized type of stuff that was paying higher cash flow and to get into a higher percentage of the lower cash flow stuff that had this big payout at the end. So it was more secure long-term. So it's a little bit complicated of an answer, but that's actually really what happened.
Yeah. You know, I'm a numbers person, and I'm sure some of our listeners are. So since you mentioned getting into the numbers, would you give us an overview of, you know, when you're talking about compounding and the equipment, sure, et cetera?
Yeah. So one example, I happen to be a friend of mine owned a small web hosting company before Amazon, AWS, and the cloud. And so he would have companies, you know, he'd have servers in there and create a little mini cloud that was private and secure for companies to be able to use for their operations. I ended up leasing him about 80 different Dell servers I bought on his behalf. And the contract, which was actually matching what he could find from a leasing company, was 28% interest, 3-year term, 5% buyout. And what that translates to numbers-wise is I get a 50% cash-on-cash return for 3 years and a 5% buyout. Okay, so you can imagine taking that money and compounding it back into more leases over an 8-year period. If you actually go pretty heavy into that, 80 leases later, the compounding is huge. Compounding in anything, if you run the spreadsheet, is huge. And when you're compounding at a 50% year-over-year return, it gets to be very big. So that's one example of what I did. And that's one of the reasons why I love higher cash flow payouts, because of the compounding.
Okay, awesome. So if I understand correctly, you were doing some more of these higher cash flow flowing investments earlier on, which kind of gave you some of the momentum to have that 2x cash flow when you were then leaving your
company. Yeah, I had a combination of both, but I definitely have a much higher percentage of the total pie in that. I still have some today because I love finding that when I can. I will say it's much harder to find those types of investments versus more of like a stabilized multifamily property, for example, or whatnot. So
yeah, for sure. Okay, awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you manage being in 60 different, and I mean, I know you do this full time, but like, how do you manage being in like 60 plus investments at one time?
Yeah, it's you're asking me like during tax time right now, where like I can never have all the K-1s on time. It's like impossible. And so I'm just like, I really don't recommend it for people. It's kind of the byproduct of what happens over a long period of time, because it's been about, you know, almost 20 years for me in this type of investing, along with being very open-minded and having the whole notion of being as diversified as possible. Now, not everybody will take this approach. Most people maybe target 20 things, 15, 25, whatever your number is. Most people don't say, I want to be in 60 things or 100 things or 50 things, because it's just a lot to manage. At the same time, I get so much stuff come across my desk, and I don't like saying no when I can get more and more diversified, that kind of happens over a long period of time. And so I would say that if you gave me the choice of being less diversified or more diversified, as a low risk person, I'll always choose more diversified. And that's kind of how that's happened. But it's also just a factor of a long period of time. It's a lot to manage. And what I do to manage it is I have a lot of tolerance. What I mean by that is a lot of slack. So my approach is that, given that I focus on cash flow, when I get a quarterly report, right, of something come in and a check, if it's within 20 or 25% of what it was supposed to be, then I'll just move on to the next, right? But in terms of the, when I say supposed to be projected, right, if it's outside of that, either on the upside or downside, I will then look into it to understand why. I want to understand, even if it's an upside, I want to understand why. So most of the stuff I invest in, because it's more stabilized, because it's meant for more predictability, falls within that range. And so managing it becomes more a function of checking the quarterly cash flow payments, confirming whether they're on track or not, and then following up on that and making sure you're getting the payments into your account and nothing's missing. But honestly, most of the work I do on an individual deal is done all up front in the due diligence. And then it's kind of more just up to the manager to then send me those checks and manage the properties. So.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And speaking about due diligence and finding opportunities, you're known to be one of the most kind of conservative people that I know personally. What is it? How do you find deals that you want to invest in?
I would say that by far the number one way that I find deals is networking. You just never know where you're going to find a deal, and it takes a lot of work. And the one benefit I have over a lot of people is that I have a lot of time networking. So now my network has grown so big that I get more stuff naturally, right? So it's just a question of the time I put in. But networking has always been the number one way for me. I can tell you that, I mean, it's hard pressed for me to think of an opportunity that I found that I didn't find through networking, because I tend to be averse to stuff that's marketed. So right now with the advent of what's called 506C, which allows for public marketing to accredited investors, there has been a little bit more people marketing to investors. What's fascinating is that the actual SEC data from 2019, which is the last published data from what I heard, is that only 7% of private placements were 506C. 93% are actually private 506B or other type, meaning that only 7% of opportunities were structured in a way that allowed them to publicly market it to accredited investors to begin with. So if you're only looking at a 506C deals, you're missing 93% of the deals by definition, like statistically. So that requires a ton of networking. And if you're new to this type of investing and trying to decide if you want to get into it, if you have no interest in networking or don't like it or don't have the time, that would be a huge barrier to you getting really well diversified and finding, really maximizing, you know, the possibilities. In which case you look at crowdfunding sites or other options or joining investor groups. But networking is the long answer is networking is by far the number one way I find the opportunities.
That is a very interesting statistic. 93% are in 2019. So, I mean, obviously,
I was really surprised.
Yeah, for sure. And what are your favorite ways to network?
Well, it's a little different for me because I've networked so much that I have a lot of people, kind of a lot of stuff incoming at this point. But if you're relatively new, my favorite ways to network are in person. I know we're kind of still talking in COVID, so it's a little bit more difficult, but I think it's going to start opening up real soon. Strongly recommend is what I did when I started. If you live in a big city, go on to meetup.com, find meetings. There are meetings, tons of meetings on there. If you're in LA like me, I mean, you could go to a meeting, several meetings a week easily, right? If it's just real estate related. I also love going to larger conferences because they're much more efficient. There could be hundreds of people there and you get a ton of learning and a ton of networking in all in one place over the course of a very short period of time. And there's cost and there's time required, but it's very efficient if you have the ability to do that. So that's another way that I love networking. Now, the good news for anybody who lives in a small city at the moment, certainly, is that you can go on right now with all these virtual meetings and actually attend a meeting, more than a meeting a day, every single day if you want, across the US and get a ton of networking done virtually. And it's amazing what's going on right now. Again, you're going to find a lot of those on meetup.com. I just happen to love that platform. I think it's probably one of the most popular. And so you don't even have to go and do anything and leave your home and spend any time going anywhere in person. But the in-person networking, to me, I always love.
Okay, awesome. Thanks so much, Jeremy. And I know we're getting close on time, so I want to just ask you one more question before you wrap up. And that I want to go back to the trifecta that you mentioned, the nest egg, the network, and the cash flow. Are those three things that you look for? Like, is that how you've, part of how you, your investment philosophy?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you're the first person ever to point that out to me, really. So I've never even thought about that, to be really honest with you. If you ask me my philosophy, what I tell people is when I invest passively, which is what I focus on, I give up control. And the concept is that I give up control in exchange for diversification. That's the way that I look at it. That's why I mentioned before, diversification is so important. And when you're giving up control, I feel like you have to be focused on diversification, because by giving up control, you're increasing your risk, right? You're giving control of somebody else and they can mismanage something. There could be fraud, Ponzi scheme, et cetera. So I like to get diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. So that's my basic philosophy and how I try to invest. I guess if you're looking at the bigger picture, definitely some of those items you mentioned make a ton of sense from a long-term perspective for me, for sure.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming on the show. I know that you have just such a wealth of experience and information to share. I would love to give you the chance to tell the listeners how to get a hold of you or anything else you'd like to share.
Anyone's welcome to contact me. If you're brand new and just curious to learn more about this type of investing, if you're an investor who wants to network and just exchange opportunities, if you're another investor group that wants to network, or if even if you're a sponsor who has opportunities, like, I'm happy to talk to anybody. So easiest way to reach me is my email, which is jroll, J-R-O-L-L, at rollinvestments, R-O-L-L, investments with an S.com. So jroll at rollinvestments.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jeremy. Can't wait to see you next time.
Yes. Thanks again for having me on. Hopefully this is helpful for whoever got to the end here.
Absolutely. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.